Dr. Jay Wolfson has unique knowledge of the Terri Schiavo case. He's a professor of public health at the University of South Florida. He also teaches law in Florida. In 2003, a Florida court appointed him Terri Schiavo's guardian ad litem. Over the course of a month, Wolfson reviewed all the medical and legal records, and he spent time with Terri Schiavo. He wrote a report for the governor and the court, and he worked toward a solution to the standoff between Schiavo's husband and her parents. He recommended that they all abide by the results of tests, including a swallowing test, which would gauge her cognitive ability. In the end, he couldn't get them all to agree. I spoke with Jay Wolfson earlier today and asked him about his conclusions.
I determined that the 13 years of evidence, the legal evidence, 30,000 pages of memoranda and motions and medical records, and the clinical evidence that was provided established a clear and convincing basis using the standards of Florida law to determine that Terri was, in fact, in a persistent vegetative state.
What do you say to people, including members of Congress, who insist that from what they've seen in videos, in Ms. Schiavo's smile, her eye or head movements, that she's exhibiting responses to her environment, responses that imply consciousness?
Robert, that was probably the most disconcerting thing for me, spending time in her room, walking in, and the definition of a persistent vegetative state includes waking periods and sleeping periods. It includes making noises. It includes moving the eyes. I tried very hard to find some consistent response and responsive behavior by Terri. I would sit with her sometime for hours, holding her hand, holding her head in my hand, stroking her hair, talking to her. I played music for her. I desperately, desperately wanted her to give me some consistent indication that she was interacting and responsive, and I was unable to observe or elicit that.
Did you observe what struck you as reflexive responses? I mean, when you spoke, did she turn and pay attention?
Not always, no. No, no. Sometimes she would, sometimes she wouldn't. I would stand outside the door. Sometimes she would make noises and turn her head. I spoke with the police officers who had spent months outside her room, with the hospice staff who had been caring for her lovingly. The information, the data about how persistent vegetative states play out, she was behaving in that manner. There was no consistent interaction.
In your report to the court, you alluded to the Schindler family, that is Terri Schiavo's parents and siblings, voicing what you called the disturbing belief that they would keep Teresa alive at any and all costs. As I understand it, that extended to amputations or open heart surgery, regardless of her ever regaining consciousness.
That was an unfortunate event. It occurred during a deposition of the family, and Mr. Filos, Michael's attorney, who's a very skilled litigator, basically backed the family members into a legal conundrum, a corner where he said, you know, assuming that you took care of Terri and she was at home and she developed severe diabetes and her limbs required amputation, would you cut off her left arm? And they said yes. And he took them through each limb. You know, it was like a boxing Elena scenario. And then he said, okay, so now you've got this torso and she develops heart disease and requires surgery. What would you do? And I said, well, we'd bring her in for surgery. So George elicited a rather gruesome perspective of what the family was prepared to do. And it's at that point that Michael allows that he said, that's it. There's no way I will ever allow the woman I love to be placed in that circumstance. Now, the Schindlers later on said, you know, that's not what we really meant. We wouldn't go that far. We felt that we were pushed into saying those things. This is a very emotional issue, Robert. It's so, so hard to deal with it objectively.
I assume that nearly everyone in the audience today has been in a conversation over the past several days in which someone has said, why doesn't Mr. Schiavo divorce her and leave the decision up to her parents, who are interested in her remaining alive, and he could then wash his hands of this matter? Why doesn't he?
I've spoken with Michael about that, and I think the answer, in Michael's terms, at least from the evidence that he submitted, is that he loved his wife. He continues to love his wife. And he believes, in his heart, that her intention was that she should not continue to live in this state. And that's derived from at least two instances that were documented, that were admitted into evidence in the courts, where after funerals of family members who had been on artificial life support, who had died, she had seen them and said, I never want to live like that. And that served as the basis, along with Michael's status as her husband. Michael feels that by letting go, he would place Terri in a circumstance that she would never wish to be in. And that's why he hasn't divorced her.
Well, Jay Wolfson, thank you very much for talking with us today.
It's my pleasure.
Jay Wolfson, who is a doctor of public health and also a lawyer, teaches both public health and law in Florida, was speaking with us from Tampa. He was the court-appointed guardian ad litem for Terry Schiavo in November of 2003.